Hey everybody, Ben Bailey here, starting off another fantastic episode of Tall But True, live from my basement with my good friend Mr. DC Benny co-hosting. What's up, dude?
Yes, what's up, buddy? Good to be here, man.
Good to be here. How you doing, dude? How was your week?
I'm good, man. It's been an all right week. I'm excited about today's guest.
Today's guest. Let's get right to it. It's Mr. Jim Florentine. What's up, man?
What's going on?
How are you?
It's good to be here in your basement.
Yeah.
Got a nice view. Got a nice view of that underneath the deck.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That chicken wire
got
there.
Mud and some old gutter pieces.
It looks like my backyard.
A filthy window.
A fern.
This is the only area that's not really kind of, like, I haven't done anything with it. I'm actually in the middle of, like, digging out this whole area.
I saw
deck.
That, yeah.
Yeah. That's I'm going to build a patio down there. My girlfriend's like, what? We have a deck on top.
It's Bailey.
I'm like, I have to do stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you know I have to do things?
No, I like doing stuff around the house, the yard work and all that stuff, too. Yeah. I could hire somebody. I'm like, nah, I'll just do it myself. Why
it's,
not?
You know, it ends up being easier some of the time because you're like, you end up telling them, spending so much time trying to find that person and tell them what you want. And in the end, you're like, I could have done this myself. I would have enjoyed it more, and it wouldn't have cost me anything.
Yeah,
Cool, man. Like, what do you do? What kind of projects do you do at your house?
Cut the lawn.
That's not really a project. That's like a
you have a little tractor thing.
It's
you
just,
do.
You're just cutting the lawn. Oh, you know, I cut the grass.
No, I do. I painted it. I got a huge fence, so I had to paint that. Then I do a lot of landscaping.
Nice.
A lot of landscaping around there, and you know. Cool. Putting stone down and mulch and
all right, now
planting.
You're talking. Yeah, that's the kind of shit I like.
I used to do that before I did comedy. I did landscaping. That's the only thing I had.
Really?
Yeah, but I knew I had nothing else to fall back on. Right. I'm like, I'm not going back and cutting like 25 lawns a day.
I've never
so
gone
it's either
back
this
there.
Or,
it's
comedy.
Incentive, man.
I didn't want anything else. I didn't want to have a degree in anything. I mean, a communications degree, like, you know, 2-year degree. But other than that, I'm like, I don't want to.
What's wrong with that?
No, yeah. I know, but I go, I don't want to have anything where I can go, I better get out of it and get back into that.
Right. You don't want to have a fallback plan. It was
no.
All or nothing.
Yeah.
All or nothing.
Yeah, I was
yeah.
the same. I'm like, I'm doing this or I'm failing at this.
Yeah.
from here on out.
Sounds very familiar. It sounds very familiar. I didn't even have, the landscaping, I didn't have that to fall back on, so. Yeah, this janitorial work.
Jim, did you always fuck with people?
Yeah.
Like, even back then?
Yeah.
Because when I think of you, I think of one night, I don't know why. The first thing I think of is, like, years ago, Judah and I were in the hall at the cellar. Judah Friedlander and I were standing in the hall. And it was, like, it was back in those days when there was, like, 8 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And
those days.
You were up, and they were horrible. Like, they were giving you nothing.
Could have been last night.
And
it was my set.
Judah and I were just marveling at how it just didn't seem to be affecting you at all. Like, it was just like, okay, whatever. No response to their lack of response at all, you know. I just remember you going, I bought my girlfriend this book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I just remember you saying that. I can't remember the end of that joke.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. It sounds like something I would say. Yeah, because I remember those chicken soup books were out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But fuck, Jude and I were dying, dude. We were laughing so hard. The crowd was sitting quiet, and we were laughing so hard. But I think of that, and then I think of another time at the cellar when we were bullshitting out in front, and you just hailed so many cabs. That you blocked up 3rd Street, like, all the way to the other end of the fucking park.
Oh, yeah, because, if you stand next to somebody on the street in New York, you know, your buddy, a cab comes by, like, yeah, right here, and then I just point to Ben. Like, yeah, and then I'm still talking. I'm like, just get in the cab. And the guy's waiting. I'm like, just get in. I go, my friend wants to know if you'll take him to the Port Authority. He's like, yeah. I'll take him. All right, go. All right, I'll see you later, Ben. All right, take care. And I'll just start walking away. I'm like, just get in. I don't know. And I'm like, to the cab driver, I don't know why he won't get in the cab for some reason. He's got
racial.
This weird thing. But you'll take him to the Port Authority. You will, right? He goes, yeah, I told you I will.
Of course I will.
Let me, all right, Ben, will you just get the cab? He's going. He'll take you to Port Authority. What's the big deal?
So then that happens,
that's
right?
Great.
And then we go back to having a conversation. Somebody else comes out. But that cab is still sitting there. He's not leaving. He thinks there's a fare to Port Authority bus terminal all the way up on 42nd, right? So then we talk for a few more minutes. And then Jim's, I'm not even really hardly paying attention, but Jim's hailing another cab, and he's doing the same fucking
thing. Yeah, doing
thing.
The same thing.
While
guy,
the other guy's still
while
waiting.
The other
guy's still
there.
Waiting, and the other guy's around him. I'm like, over here, I'm just pointing to go. One minute. Just 1 minute, I'm pointing to him.
Pretty
and then
soon.
I'm like, just go. And I just use the hands. Just go. If it's wintertime, you just use the hands. It's him.
Oh, dude. Within,
that's great.
Within 3 minutes, there must have been 12 cabs.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there were three or four along the curb, and then there was a second row. So now the whole of 3rd Street is blocked. And they all think I'm looking for a cab, but not getting in. And I swear to God, it caused a backup all the way. I watched it go. It takes like 2 minutes. The whole next block, and then all the way to the park. Everybody's honking and going crazy.
Sometimes,
and then we just go back inside.
Yeah, sometimes I get in the back of the cab and then go out the back, out the other door. I'd sit in and go right out the other door before he can even take off.
Dude, if they don't stop for me, sometimes they don't stop for me, then I'll take revenge on another one, and I'll hail it, and when it stops, I just walk off.
You do.
You exact your revenge on someone totally unrelated.
No.
But it's a cab,
it's so, wrong.
So fuck it. It feels the same to you.
It's so wrong.
It's misplaced.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime when the windows are open and the cabs, and you just go, taxi! And then you just, and they stop and they're like, and just point to whoever you're talking to.
To a total stranger.
Point to the guy talking to himself.
See, I feel like a lot of that stuff originated with you. Like, I always remember you and Jimmy Norton doing that kind of stuff. Like, a person walks by, like, sir?
Oh, yeah.
And then look away. And then we all end up doing it to each other.
My son does it. He's six. Yeah. He's doing it all the time. Sir? And then he just hides. And, oh, yeah, yeah. We've been doing that for years.
I love it. It's so stupid, but it's fucking
another
hilarious.
One, like, if someone's walking towards me, like, we're crossing the street in New York City, and I see they have a watch on, I go, excuse me, can you tell me what time it is? And when they go to look down, I just keep walking straight ahead. So by the time they look up, And I'm already like 15 yards away, just walking like 100 miles an hour. It's Ford.
I love it.
Yeah, there's no reason, though.
You know what I love? It's Ford.
What's that?
Who's that Ford?
Nobody.
There's no one there to appreciate
nobody.
It.
I know.
It's just for the sake of the laugh.
That is. It's just for somebody else's watch. But even like in a Starbucks, like when they, you know, you order a coffee, they go, what's your name? I go, Jennifer. And they'll start laughing. I'm like, what's so funny? Oh, that's my name. I go, it's my dad. Dad's name, and now it's mine. They're like, no, I was laughing about something else. I'm like, okay.
It's my dad's name.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
It makes it so legit.
Right, it does.
It's my father's my name, asshole.
Yeah.
You got a fucking problem with a guy named Jennifer?
And that is, of course,
he died fighting for your freedom.
And then, of course, when I pick it up, when I go, Jennifer, I'm like, right here. Of course, I have to make a scene with eight other people waiting for their coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. That is great.
I love it, man. I love that stuff. And I have to tell you, I would do that. Like, I'd end up on the street in New York a lot shooting cash cab years after we used to all do that stuff.
Years after the line
club.
Of cabs in the village.
Right. Yeah. Years after that.
Daddy
after,
is.
Like, if someone's leaving, you're like, Jim! Trying to get your attention and get your turnaround and then ignore you. I mean, dude, I remember like standing in front of the cellar. I don't know if either of you guys were there, but we had a lineup of guys on either side of the sidewalk, and we were doing the car wash, the music from car wash, and as people came through, they would start dancing, and then we just stop and boo them.
Really? I wasn't there for that one. That's funny.
Oh my God, it was so funny. They would look, because they would just like give into it and be like, oh yeah, and then we'd be like, boo! And they would just freeze. They'd be so embarrassed. But so that stuff translated to the cash cab shoots. Because we'd be on the street waiting. A lot of times we had a tech issue with the cab. We'd be standing around with nothing to do. So we'd start fucking with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd start doing that. Sir? Miss?
Yeah, excuse me, miss.
Excuse me. Miss? You know, like you really have to commit to it.
Oh, absolutely,
You'll get them, dude. And so the whole crew started doing it. I got the director so good one night. He and I are sitting in the cab up on like Lex and like 60-something. Just sitting there waiting. It's like just about dark. And he's got a paper. He's holding a newspaper. And because of the paper, I'm like totally invisible. Because he's always holding it up. I'm in the driver's seat. He's in the passenger seat. And this girl's walking by with her dog. And I just fucking leaned in. So like I was right next to his face. I was like, excuse me. And I fucking moved and hid behind the paper.
Right.
And she comes back and gets right in this. She goes, yes. And he just is frozen. He can't do anything. She goes, yes. And she's just looking at him, and finally he just goes, no.
No.
And she goes, okay. Right. Stormed off.
Yeah, because they don't think, like, why would a grown-up do that? So they just go, all right, I must see, maybe he was talking to somebody else. There's no way they think, all right, why would a grown man say that to me, like, to mess with me? That's so childish. So they don't even think you're messing with him. As long as you don't break character, like, if you don't
smile.
You don't
break character. Yeah, yeah.
You don't break
don't
character.
Laugh. That's the key.
Keep the urgency in your voice and then just ignore them completely.
Yeah. I love going to an elevator and pushing like extra buttons of different floors so they have to stop and no one gets off. And I'll sit in the back of the elevator. There'll be like 8 or 9 people on there. I'll press like 2, 3. Right when I get on, I'll hit 2 and 3 and
they
just go right
to the
back.
They see you do
no,
it.
They don't. Sometimes I can hide it real quick.
They don't really notice.
Or I'll just go, 2, please. And I'll say, my voice. And then 2 will come. And then no one moves and I don't move. And the guy's like, it's 4-2, sir. And I'm like, yeah, I go. No, I'm not. I didn't say 2. He goes, no, you did. I go, no, I'm getting off at 4 of the 4th floor.
I'm going up to 4.
Or sometimes I'll be in the back of the elevator. I'll press a button, a bunch of buttons, and it'll open. I'll go, excuse me. And then everybody moves out of the way, and nobody gets off. No one's looking around. Go, excuse me. Some people get off the elevator, like actually off it because it's packed. And nobody gets
excuse
off.
We used to have
excuse me. I wish you guys could see the face that Jim makes.
Yeah.
Goes with that. He turns his mouth sideways. Excuse me.
We had this apartment on
it's great though. It's making something out of nothing. It's like it's what stand up is all about.
Yeah.
In a way, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Sorry, what you could say apartment.
We had this apartment on I think it was 25th Street and it was had like some old intercom. But you could do it faced the street, so when people would walk by, you could press a button and say shit, and it would come out really loud. So right. I would do that all fucking day. I would just sit there, and when somebody would come by, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm talking to you. whatever. They don't know where it's coming from. Right, I would do it all fucking day, man. It was great, man. I remember that that little speaker thing.
Dude, another seller story for me. Can't remember who I was with, but me and a couple of dudes went around to Minetta Lane over there, around to the right by Cafe Wa, and then down that little alley.
Right.
And then if you make the left, you're in that other, even smaller little road there, Minetta Place.
Where everybody pees.
Yeah, where everybody pees and smokes weed.
Yeah.
So we went back there, and that's what we're doing. We're passing a joint around. We're right by the doorway to this apartment building, right? First there on the left. And we're smoking and laughing, ha-ha, and then all of a sudden we hear this, take your drugs and your party and go somewhere else. And it's a guy over the whatever you call it.
Intercom.
The intercom
anyway,
from the apartment,
really?
His apartment upstairs.
Oh, shit.
Scared the shit out of us. He was right behind me, And then we start to take off and run, and 2 cops show up, and they're like, what are you guys running for? And I was like, oh, hey, man. We're like, man, did you just call me man? I'm like, oh, fuck. These cops are going to bust our balls. They kept us there for 20 minutes. Didn't give us a ticket or anything, but...
You didn't go back on the intercom? And I would have totally come back.
Did you call the cops, you motherfucker?
Yeah.
You have a whore living in apartment 2A?
That's great.
I love it. I love the fucking with people, because it's relatively innocent, too,
But
not everybody gets it. Like, there was one guy on the crew of the show who just couldn't do it. This kid, Evan, from Indiana... We're like, all right. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time. We're like, okay. And we'd all wait and watch, try not to be conspicuous about it. And all he's trying to do is go, sir, and get a guy to look. But he can't fucking do it. He gets nervous. And so we're all waiting and watching. And this guy rides by on a bike and he just goes, nice bike. That is so far from.
Yeah.
you just don't even understand the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for everybody because it gets uncomfortable. I'll do it with some comics on the road that I'll travel with. We'll be in a Starbucks and I'll order something. I'm like, yeah, I'll take this coffee, a black coffee, and whatever she wants. And usually it gets like a smile from, and my friend, this guy Joe Howard, is a comic. He's like, why am I always the gay one? I'm like, you have to be. I'm like, gay is fun. And then I'm like, yeah, I go, we're kind of fighting. You know, it depends who's back there. Especially a black woman who loves that stuff. I'm like, yeah, we're fighting. I go, he didn't get me a card for Valentine's Day, you know. He got me a nice gift, but he didn't get me. The card's very important. But I know what you're saying. I go, yeah, so we're just friends now. We're seeing if we can work it out, you know. Oh, yeah, just.
And they're believing you?
Yeah, yeah, they totally believe him. I'm like, yeah. I mean,
and the dude's getting real uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, can you tell him, if, you know, that it's really important to get a card, too? A card
card's
means
more
a lot.
Important than the gift.
Yeah. I know, I exactly. I go,
yeah. Yeah. It means more. Sign your name. Yeah, I know. Show some fucking emotion.
It's great.
I remember when cars first had like remote, you could pop the trunk.
Yeah.
My dad got a new like Buick Park Avenue or something, and you could pop the trunk from. So my sister and I were like in a hotel room, and we pop and we're popping the trunk as people went by, and even that back when that was new would just scare the shit out of people.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
To be walking right next to the car and have the trunk pop open.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now everything's remote control. Like you know, you can't really fool anybody that way anymore. But
we had this stuffed gorilla that my it was life size. It was like it was huge. It was like it must have been 5-6 feet.
Holy shit!
And I don't know where I got it. I had it for a while, and then I gave it to my brother, and he brought it back on the bus. Right. To DC, and but what would happen is we would just set it up at random places in the house, and you'd forget, right. You'd forget it was there. So it was a piano, so we always had it by the piano. So you get home, be late at night, you come in the living room, it's like, what the fuck is that? There's this giant gorilla sitting at the piano, and then people, there was, I was living in Brooklyn, and there's somebody, a lot of the apartments were getting broken into, so I brought the gorilla back, and I just left it by the window. Like there was a computer and a desk. I left it by the window.
It was just giant, dude.
But it would scare me at night. I'd come back from a set and I'd forget it was there. And, you know, I'd walk in the bedroom and be like, oh, shit. You know, it's fucking. It's a gorilla. And then my wife banned it. It was just, it was too much.
That's it.
Yeah.
No more
but
gorilla.
The gorilla was great, man. I loved that thing. It was a,
sometimes you can scare you. Like if you move a mirror.
Yeah.
Ever do that one? You move a mirror and then you forget.
No.
I have his mirrors in my basement down here in the other room.
That guy looks
like
Ben Bailey.
Moved around when the cleaner comes or whatever. And right. I once in a while will scare the shit out of myself by walking up on myself in the mirror in the dark. You know, you just catch a glimpse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
That happened when I was in college. I got into like a scare-off kind of thing with my roommates. I might have told some of these on the show before, but
I don't remember that one. I don't remember.
I built like a bar in my living room, at the house I lived in when I was in college. But I built it so I could lean on it comfortably.
Right.
So everyone called it the big man's bar because it was too fucking tall for most people. A lot of my friends came in and it was like up to their chest.
Right.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck is this? Like, you're too small. It's a big man's bar. Get out. So I like made it into a club. We'd have a party every Thursday. I had a fucking bar. I had a keg. And I mounted speakers on a wall. Big old time speakers, you know, like everybody used to have.
Yeah.
And I think the speakers broke. They ended up not working, so I had to buy a new one. So I took the speakers down, and there were still brackets there. So one friend comes in and hangs his jacket on it, on the bracket, just inside the door to the right. And then we're sitting there watching TV, and my other buddy comes in and catches the jacket out of the corner of his eye right by the window. And he thinks it's a person coming through the window, and he just goes, no! Scares the shit out of him. And he gets really mad at us, and we're like, dude, it was a fucking accident.
Right.
But so he swears revenge, and then for the next month, maybe 4 or 6 weeks, we're just scaring the fuck out of each other every chance that we got. It was pretty brutal. It was fun, though. Like, we were watching a movie. I can't remember the name of it, like the Fifth Power or something like that. Some scary fucking movie, and
everybody's
sitting there on the edge of their seats like, oh, my God. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I leave and I go upstairs and I fucking climb out the window and I come around to the window right next to where they're all sitting watching the movie and I fucking bust the blind in with my hand and dive through the window and go, aah!
Really?
Oh my God, dude. Their legs and hands went up like they, I scared the shit out of them. And then it was on. And then it just happened. Everyone was walking around on their tiptoes, you know, all the time, worried about getting the shit scared out of
them. Oh, those are great, those wars. Yeah, I've been in those
fucking
wars. Wars. Yeah.
I think they always end the same way. Someone hides forever, and the other people never show up.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, I'm a loser. I've been in the closet for 2 hours. What the fuck am I doing in here?
I had a roommate in college, and he used to label. We shared the refrigerator, and he used to label his shit. It would drive me crazy. And so one day he came back with this Gatorade.
He put his name on it, or he'd say what it was?
It was a Gatorade. It was fucking hot out and everything. It was nothing else to drink. And he wrote, he had a little label and said, private Gatorade on it, right?
Private.
Yeah. So I fucking drank half of it, and I poured it must have been a cup of kosher salt in there. And then I poured some water on top so it filled up, and it looked the same. I shook it up. Then I put it in boiling water so it would pop when you took the top off. And I put it back in, right?
Holy shit.
So this motherfucker comes back, right? He takes out the private Gatorade, and he takes off the label, right? And I'm watching, because there's so much salt I put in that fucking thing. And he takes the top, and it pops a little bit, but
not like you were hoping.
But not like I'm hoping, but I saw him go like, huh, or whatever. So he takes like fucking a huge swig of this Gatorade, like just look, like, ah, ah, ah. And he's like, Jesus, what, you know, and he's going on about it. I'm like, you didn't get that at that 7-Eleven up the block. I knew we got it 7-Eleven up the block. He's like, yeah. And I was like, because they just had this, it was like some report on the news. Did it taste like salty or something? He's like, yeah, it tasted salty. I'm like, did the top pop or like partially pop? He's like, not really. Like, they said something about there was like some poison. Someone's been poisoning Gatorade. He fucking took off. Went to like the nurse's office. You know, his office, like, thought he got poisoned by Gatorade. He never knew that was a prank, though.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's, I hope he's listening.
He's probably listening.
Private Gatorade.
And then I think he figured it out, and he found a picture of me and a friend of mine, and he made a little composite. Yeah, he did figure it out, because he made like a composite of both of our faces, and he wrote two guys who happen to be gay, and then he went into the parking lot and put it on every car in the fucking parking lot of the building that we were in, because we were in like some apartment building.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so that was nice.
Who did that?
The same guy who drank the Gatorade. Yeah, so he got me back for that.
He got you back.
And then it went on. Those were just two of the, but it went on for like 2 years.
Yeah, you guys were
that
in a battle after that.
Yeah, but I think the Gatorade, you know.
Yeah, at least he put salt in it. I had a thing where I used to work construction, and my brother used to buy these old shitty houses, and we'd fix them up.
Right.
So there was this one house. It was in the middle of summer. It was like 100 degrees in there. It was all beat up and stuff, and we would just tear everything out, throw it in a dumpster. So the refrigerator was on. It was like an old-school refrigerator. Yeah. So the first day on the job, I'm working there with my buddies and stuff. There's like five of us. I look in the freezer, and there's an empty ice cube tray. And there's nothing else in the refrigerator, but the refrigerator's working. So I decide, because I'm bored on a construction site, to piss in the ice cube tray and fill it up with piss. I don't know why. I just was bored. And then I just put it back in the freezer. I didn't think anything of it. You know what I mean? So it's just
nothing of it.
Nothing of it. Yeah, because no one's living there. Yeah. So we just go back. So cut to like 2 weeks later, we're eating lunch, and we're sitting around in the house like 90 degrees out, and my buddy Vinny, who was a big dude, who's fucking crazy, he's got iced tea and he's got ice in it. And I go, Vin, where'd you get the ice from? He goes, oh, there was an ice cube tray in the freezer. I just put the ice in there. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, there's no way I was going to tell him, because he's going to kick my ass.
How's that tea? Is it tart?
Too late already? He's already been drinking the tea?
Yeah, he was already drinking it, so there was no way I was going to tell him. So when I did tell him was like 20 years later, about 5 years ago, he comes to see me at the Stress Factory Comedy Club. Yeah. It's like his 40th birthday, and he has like 30 people there.
Right.
And they all come to my show, and they're all sitting up top there. And I go, hey, my friend, I swear to God, my friend Vinny's here. I've been friends with him for long. Give him a hand. I go, he's a big party. Happy birthday. Vinny's like, thanks. And then I proceeded to tell him the story that he drank my piss. I broke it to him on stage in front of 350 people on his 40th birthday.
Oh my God.
Like, there was like his wife was and his friends were holding him back, like he wanted to rush the stage.
He's gonna rush up there and beat the shit out of you.
And I'm on the stage, I go, you can't kick my ass now, huh, motherfucker?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Did he get over it?
Yeah. Because there was another time when
while.
He was, there was another
20 years. Is a, yeah, it's a pretty.
There was
good
another
long.
Time
you digested he, the you pissed out the piss by then.
Yeah, I think so. I was in there for like 2 weeks. There was another time that he was
I think he's still got a little Florentine in him.
Yeah,
probably. Well, there was another time that he was working in that same house in this little bathroom, and there was wallpaper, all the shit. He had to clean the whole thing, and it was disgusting, the place. And it was just shit laying all over in there, so I decided, the same construction site, to shit in a shopping bag. And then I threw it in that little bathroom. With no it's like 100 degrees in the house.
Oh, no.
And he has to rip the wallpaper down. He's painting and taking everything down.
And you shit in a bag.
Yeah, and I threw it in the corner of
like
that little bathroom.
Like a brown paper bag?
Yeah, like a brown paper bag. But there was
so
much
cooking.
Stuff.
It's cooking.
Yeah, it's
in
cooking.
Here.
And
yeah.
There's so much stuff in the bathroom that he's not going to notice. I put it in a corner. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm upstairs working like the bedroom. And like, what the fuck? Fucking stinks in here. I'm like, what? He's like, come down here. And I come in. He goes, you smell it? I go, like, this. You don't smell it. I go, I don't smell nothing. He's like, I smell like shit here. Like
I
six different times during the day. And then like 20 minutes, like, Jesus Christ. I can't deal with this. I go, what are you doing? He goes, you don't smell it. I go, I don't smell anything.
Who is that guy?
Shit.
The same guy. Man.
Same guy.
Same guy, yeah.
So when he's 60, you're going to tell him.
No, I didn't. No, he found it at the end of the day. He found the bag.
Vinny, happy 60th. I shit in your mouth once when we were 17. I never told you.
He found it at the end of the day at like 4 o'clock.
Oh,
and he whipped the bag right at me and it hit me right in the chest. And I deserved it. I didn't go, hey, that was wrong. I'm like, all right, we're even.
My brother's went home.
God, that's fucking hilarious.
It's like,
I can't fucking do this. You don't smell that.
Yeah, my God. And of course, I kept going down. I go, I don't smell anything. No.
And it's easier.
It's just hot
for you.
In here.
Yeah. It's your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was brutal.
It was bad.
Yeah, yeah. I just got my son this morning. My son always goes in one bathroom to brush his teeth. And I always send him, all right, Luke, it's time to brush your teeth. And I dropped the deuce in the toilet. And I left it in there.
Oh.
And I go, all right, Luke, it's time to go brush your teeth. And he went in there and he goes, oh!
Start him young.
Oh, yeah.
Before you know it. He'll be backing up cabs on Third Street.
Oh, he got me in Disney World.
Yeah.
Like about a month ago. You know, you when you got a kid, you got to tell him, you know, if someone's going to, you know, come up and try to kidnap you, some weirdo, you know, don't do
this.
You got to tell him what.
Yeah,
you got to give him that whole speech. So I gave it to him probably like a year ago, so he understands it.
Can you tell us in exact words what you said to him?
Probably just said, look, you know, well, first of all, my brother's making a joke because his son is around the same age and they like the California. Anaheim Angels, and Mike Trout is a baseball player.
Uh-huh.
So, and my sister, who's the godmother, is real protective of the little kid. And he's like, tell Kathy if some guy pulls up in a van with a nice Mike Trout picture, what you do? He goes, I get in the van. And my sister goes nuts. No, don't say that. I'll get in the van. If it's really nuts, I'll get in the van. So my son hears this shit. So now we're down at Disney World, and I'm changing him in the bathroom, his bathing suit, right? And there's nobody in the bathroom, so I don't even go in a stall. I'm just in the middle. I'm like, there's nobody in here. Some guy walks in, so I cover him up a little, and the guy goes over to the urinal, and he starts peeing. And my son looks over at the guy, and he puts his big grin on his face. I don't know what he's going to do. And then all of a sudden, he goes, mister, where are my parents? I swear to God. So the guy turns around, he's peeing like that, and he looks over like this. And I go, he's just joking. That's my son, Luke. He goes, my name's not Luke. My name is Steve. What are you talking about? I'm like, it's really my son. He goes, no. He goes, can I have some candy? Do you have candy? Because this guy doesn't have candy. Sir, do you have candy?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I had to follow the guy out of the bathroom. I go, look, this is my son. Tell him. I go,
swear
you can't
this
do that
joke.
Shit.
My name's Jim Fortin. Here's my website.
I got tour dates in wherever you're from.
Yeah, you can bring your kids.
But so he's a complete ball buster right now.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's only gonna get worse.
Yeah,
yeah. I got him like this fake turd. He loves this. Like,
oh, I had one. Those are great.
Yeah,
man.
They're great. So
those are fucking.
Yeah,
awesome.
They're amazing. So he puts them in my mom. I'm going to see my mom.
Dude, awesome.
Oh, I have one of those. Those are awesome.
That you can get so much mileage out of those things.
Oh yeah, he puts it on my mom's carpet when he goes over. He goes, oh, look what the dog did.
Yeah.
And she buys it?
Yeah, at first, but now she knows. But he'll do it. We have a little dog, and we have like those wee-wee pads in the house. So he'll put it on the wee-wee pad to mess with the dog. Because the dog comes out
the dog's
like,
who's shitting
the
on my
dog's like, that
pad.
Ain't mine.
My brothers, this was about 6 years ago. We got into a war. We got into one of those wars, and they wanted to go out partying one night. And I got the one gay brother and the one straight brother. So the thing is, you go to both bars. Both sets of bars. You got to go to
the
straight
three
bar.
Of you go to both?
Yeah, that's the right. Deal. You got to go to all of them. And I was tired. I was like, I'm not going out tonight. I'm just chilling. They're like, you fucking old man or whatever. So they went out to some bar. and they went to the they mixed it up. They ended up in a straight bar and they were fucking lit. And some one guy came up to my gay brother and just punched him in the eye, like just fucking clocked him in the eye. So my other brother tackles this fucking dude, you know, chokes him out, and then they run out of the bar and they steal these some kids' banana seat bikes and they ride fucking home.
They ride
and they're
off.
All sweaty. That the air conditioning's not working in the house. It's August in DC. It's like a swamp. So they come back. They're all sweaty. I'm in the bed. And they're pissed that I didn't go out with them and all this shit. So they jump into bed and they like roll all the sweat on me. Oh. It's fucking disgusting, right? And then they run upstairs and they're laughing and they and my dad was like doing a no red meat thing. So they were looking for a steak to put on the black eye, and there was only a chicken wing. There was like a frozen chicken wing in the so my brother falls asleep with the chicken wing on his eye. So I get up early in the morning. And I get one of those space heaters. The house is hot as fuck. And I sneak it into the room. And
sorry,
I sneak
bro.
It's all right, buddy. I sneak it into the fucking room, man.
Right.
I crank that shit on high. And they're I mean, they've been drinking tequila all night or whatever. They're just, they can't move. I crank it on high, and I lock the door, right? So they're baking. And the last thing is the fucking melted chicken wing on his eye. The smell of melted chicken wing. It was beautiful. I couldn't get out. You know, it's just, oh, it's great. It was a wonderful time.
He goes to sleep with a chicken wing on his eye.
Yeah, well, that's how lit they were, you know.
They were hammered and got into a fight.
Yeah.
I've done that before with comics in the car. I remember I was driving to Florida with Erica McMahon, and we're in, like, Jacksonville, or we just hit Florida. It's, like, 100 degrees, and he's sleeping in the passenger seat. So I roll up all the windows, and I put the heat on full blast.
Oh.
And he's out cold because he drove most of the way. And, I keep looking over, and I'm dying. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
That's living for the art.
I know. I go, like, do I really? And I see like beads of sweat coming off his forehead. And he's slowly starting asleep. He's starting to pit out. And then he'd be like, ah. And then at one point he woke up and he looked at the heat and he just turned it off. He looked at me and he went back to sleep and then I just turned it right back on. And then
you turned it back on.
Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. And like 20 minutes later with pit stains down here, he wakes up. He's like, why would you do that? Look how sweaty you are. I go, it's worth it. It was worth it.
It was worth it.
Yeah, look at you.
Totally
you're a wreck. It's totally
oh, that's great.
My buddy and I did that when we were in, like, I don't know, maybe sophomore year of high school. We were, like, old enough that we could go out. Like, if we want to go get pizza for dinner or whatever, we could do it on our own. You know, my little friend lived across the street. So we never went to this place before. We go to this Chinese restaurant one town over. We walk over there, like, go in behind the bowling alley and cut through. Go into the Chinese restaurant, and we sit down, and we're eating. And we look up, and there's the thermostat. Is right next to us, right by our table. So we both start giggling as soon as we see it, you know. So you know that that's the kind of shit we're into. So he inches it up just a little bit, and we eat a little bit more. And then I inch it up a little more, and then we're just eating. And then pretty soon we fucking cranked it. We turned the heat up to like 95 in this little Chinese restaurant in a strip mall. And it's packed.
Right.
And we're just sitting there eating. And the food's kind of spicy. And like we start sweating and we're laughing uncontrollably. Right. And everyone in the whole place is like red in the face and sweating. And they can't figure out what the hell's going on.
That's great.
And finally the manager comes over and screams at us, kicks us out and turns it down. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I just be like, look, I was cold. Sorry.
We were uncomfortable.
I always just play it like, look, I didn't know you weren't supposed to do this.
Yeah, right.
I used to work in a Thai restaurant, and there was a guy that would come in. It was like gourmet Thai food. And there's a guy that would come in, and he would say, I want Thai spicy. And we would say, and this happened like every week. We'd say, we don't do Thai spicy. It's too much. You can't handle it. And he'd be like, no, Thai spicy. I want Thai spicy. And we'd be like, okay. Right. We'd go in the back and tell the chef. And he'd be like, okay. Dude, I watched him put the amount of spice that went into this fucking dish was insane.
Yeah.
But the guy liked it.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
We couldn't like beat him.
Yeah,
I was like, make it. We were like, make it as fucking hot as you can make it.
Their taste buds are dead. Yeah, they can't.
Well, dude, he was like bright red in the face. His nose is running. He's tearing. He's sweating. He's drinking Singha beers like they're fucking nothing. But he won't relent. He would never be like, it's too hot. It's too hot, you know.
And he came back and did it.
He came back all the time. We thought, let's fucking teach this guy a lesson.
Yeah.
Give it to him real fucking hot, you know. But he loved it. It was exactly what he wanted.
I used to work in a shoe store, right? And it was a women's shoe store. It had some men's shoes. It was mostly women's, like, high-end shoes.
You worked in a women's shoe store?
Dude, I've done it all, bro. I've done it all. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Jim was working construction and shitting in a bag.
And you weren't the gay brother?
I wasn't the gay brother, bro. You were Al Bundy. You were fucking Al Bundy.
Yeah.
We used to get these fucking black drag queens that would come in, and these transvestites, and they'd be like, they'd want these women's shoes in like a huge fucking size. Like, y'all got this in a size 17. Mm-hmm. And we'd be like, it's not made in that size. You know, this a bad shoe. That's it. There was one, it always just come and be like, this a bad shoe. You don't have this size 17. And
size 17 stiletto.
We would go downstairs whenever that would have. We go downstairs and one of us would yell Yolanda really loud like that, and it made no sense. It was we would just do
it's
it.
Just something you guys did.
Just really loud. And I remember one day all these women came in with, you know, as the drag queen came in, all these women came in, the dude I work with went downstairs and shouted, Yolanda! And this girl turns around and goes, who called my name? And we couldn't stop saying that for the rest of the year. Who called my name? Who called my name? I don't know. I don't even know if that qualifies as a prank, but it's kind of like
it's
the
pretty surf. Fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's all right, man.
I got Norton really good one time.
Oh, yeah.
So we used to live together.
Yeah, that's right. You guys lived in... Jersey.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, we lived
like
Cliffside Park.
What was that like?
Well, I had one
of transvestite. Yes.
Well, I had one rule. I said no hookers are allowed in the house.
That's the only rule.
Yeah, because I said, you know, because you don't know if they're going to go through your stuff, if,
right?
You know, whatever. So he's like, no problem. So he used to just park in the driveway. We had like a little street, so he'd back up into the driveway, and you know those like cardboard things you put on the windshield to keep the sun out.
Yeah, advisor.
Yeah, yeah. So he had one with like a smiley face on it, and he put that up, and then he would get blown in the car or fuck the hooker in the car in the driveway.
And then the guy would just be on his way.
I'd hear his construction job, and I look out and I see him put the thing up there, and he'd do it right in the car.
Smiley face.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
With sunglasses on his smiley face.
That is great.
But what we did?
Did you ever fuck with him while he was doing it?
No, because I was not, and I'm not. I wouldn't do that. But there was one time. So
some things are sacred.
We used to always leave logs for each other in the toilet.
You guys are thoughtful.
Recurring thoughtful.
Yeah, it was a weird way of showing affection. Right. You know, like we didn't get each other Christmas gifts.
Morning, sweetheart.
Yeah. Coffee's ready.
No, it's not the log, it's what's in it, you know? Some thread, corn.
Wait, no card? Just a shit.
Yeah, no card. But, you know, because Jim would stay up till like 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like all night. This was before he was doing radio.
Right.
And I'd go to sleep at a reasonable hour, like around 2. So I'd be up at like 9 or 10. He wouldn't get up till like 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
What was he doing all night?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
God only knows.
Yeah, God only knows.
What Jimmy Norton was up to at 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah, 6 a.m.
He said 4 hours all to himself.
I'd hear him, like, eating chips in the kitchen. Like, I thought it was, like, a rat in there, like, munching chips. Well, he'd stay at the cellar. He'd do lights at stay in the city.
Yeah, dude,
then
I was thinking.
He'd cruise for prostitutes.
Those days, we were at the club until 4 in the morning.
Yeah, because we'd go on stage sometimes, like, 140, 150 was the set, you know, the spot you had.
Yep.
So we used to just leave logs for each other. So, like, I'd wake up in the morning.
Wait, was he parked out in front in his Saturn?
Yeah, it was a Saturn, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, his black Saturn, yeah.
That's nice. That is nice.
all right,
great.
Sorry.
So, all right, no,
you know,
yes, no problem.
You know the hookers were impressed.
So he would wait, I'd wake up at like 10 in the morning, there'd be one in the bowl. I'm like, you know, whatever. And I'd just flush it, and he would see one, and he'd flush or whatever. So cut to... this girl liked me, and I wasn't really into her, but Jim really liked her. So I go, Jim, just go, you know, take her out. He goes, yeah, but she really likes you. And I'm like, I don't worry about it. He goes, if I bring her back here, you're going to be here, and all this, and she knows we live together. I go, just tell. I go, I'll stay at my mom's down. At, you know, she lived like a half hour away tonight. Bring her back here. I go and just tell her I'm not going to be. Tell him, say I'm on the road for a week. What's the difference? He goes, yeah, that's a good idea. I go, yeah, just fucking tell her I'm not even home. So she's just worried that coming back in there and I'm going to be there. Right. Meanwhile, I forgot, like, before I even talked about that, I left him a log in the toilet. So cut to, like, you know, 2 in the morning. I'm at my mom's. I just slept there. He brings the girl back, convinces her that I'm on the road for a week. I've been home in a week. And he brings the girl back up to. He finally made some headway. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to finally fuck her. He's been working. He brings her back. And he says, he's got her in the house. They're in the living room. They put a movie on or whatever. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. Now, she went in there before he went in. And there was a huge turd.
And he's been there alone for a week.
And he's been alone for a week. So as he comes out, you're disgusting. Like, what are you talking about? Because you don't even flush your toilet here. He goes, well, I don't know what you mean. Just, there was shit left in the bowl. And he couldn't blame it on me because I was on the road for a week.
No, it was Jim.
He said within like 10 minutes, she got tired and she wanted to go home. And he had to drive her back to the city.
Just give me a ride home. Your Saturn.
Let me just hit the bathroom one time.
I cock blocked on one of my turds.
Yeah.
That's great.
But he couldn't get mad at me. I didn't know that it was going to happen.
Yeah, and all he had to do was go into the bathroom. You guys always did anyway.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Just tell her I went out of town.
My wife
likes
this,
you, yeah, but what she wants is unimportant.
Yeah, I'm like, don't worry about it.
My wife had this cat that used to piss in my shoes when it would get mad. It would just piss in my shoes. The cat didn't like me. Like, my wife had the cat before we met. Then we met, and the cat, it just kind of ruined this cat's life, you know. This cat's like, we were together.
Yeah, it's like,
this
we
motherfucker's
had a thing.
In here.
Who's,
now.
Who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, so the cat would piss in my
it's
shoes.
It's like Louie in The Secret Life of Pets.
Right.
Who the hell are you?
I used to
Wait, what was the cat's name?
Calica.
Calica.
Calica, cool. Yeah. And Calica would piss in my shoes, and Calica had this habit of going under a blanket and, like, wriggling around or whatever, so... I guess the cat had pissed in my shoes, and my wife knew I couldn't stand this cat, right? So I took a pillow and I put it under the blanket. And I wasn't allowed to, like, really touch Calica. Like, I couldn't do it. I took this pillow, I put it under the blanket, right? My wife came home from work, and she goes into the bedroom. And I'm like, oh, look, Calica's on the bed, right? So I'm like, that motherfucker pissed in my shoe again. So I jumped on the pillow and started punching it. I'm like, did you ever piss? She's like, what are you doing?
And I lift it up here and beat the shit out of the cat.
It was hilarious, dude.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was fun.
Would she laugh about that now?
She might laugh about it now. She didn't laugh about it then. But she'd laugh about it now.
That's definitely a good one. Dude, Bobby Kelly got me a couple times. He got me with a pretty good prank.
What's that?
One time we were in Rotterdam. You guys ever do? I know you did. We did it together, but
no, I never did that one.
I went over there maybe 3 times and did that tour in Holland or whatever. And one time, there's a bunch of guys I knew, but the guys that were really guys that we knew were Bobby and Tony Woods. And we hung out, and like he and Tony just like would just go off and gamble without telling me what they were doing. I'm like, thanks, guys. I'm just sitting here by myself. There's only 3 of us in this whole town that know each other. Like.
Right.
Glad you had a good time, you fucking pricks. I've been sitting in my room for 4 hours. But we had a good time, and Bobby's leaving on a red eye, I think. And my flight's not till the next morning. So we say our goodbyes, and I go to bed, and then I wake up to a... I'm like, what the hell? It's like 6:30 in the morning. I go and open the door. There's a guy from room service outside. He's got enough food for like fucking 16 people. Like, fucking Bobby ordered, like, I mean, 4 fucking rolling tables full of, you know, the plates with the thing, the metal things. I was like, holy shit. I just go, oh no, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. And fucking shut the door. That was it.
You didn't have to pay for it?
No. All right. Shit. I just went back and sat on my bed and I was dying laughing.
Oh shit.
Fucking Robert.
Oh, that's good, man.
Dude, another time, I might have told this story too. It's getting hard to keep track of which ones we've told on the show. Especially because I'm not keeping track at all. But I don't know if I told this one or not, but one time Bobby and I were going out to L.A. at the same time to do a showcase, you know. And we're talking back and forth about, like, what, you know, finding a good deal on a hotel because we don't have any fucking money. And he's like, I found this great place called the Hollywood Downtowner Motel. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds a little, all right, whatever. So I look at it. We check it out. I'm like, oh, that's going to be all right. We go there. It's like, it hasn't been redone since like 1960. Like it right. looks like something out of a fucking 1960s movie.
Right. Yeah.
So it's
part
not,
of the charm.
It has a little bit of charm to it, but it's overall, it's a pretty shitty place. It's not a nice fucking place to stay, really. But we're broke, and it's like fucking $40 a night or something, or $50 a night. So I go and I check in. I get the biggest room in the place at the top, like way up above the pool. And there's a tiny little pool in the middle, and Bobby gets the one just down from it on the right, so on the other side of the pool. So I'm like, hey, let's go down to the pool. He's like, all right. I called him. I act like I texted him, but this is before everybody had fucking smartphones. I called his room and said, hey, I'm going out of the pool. He's like, okay, I'll see you down there. I go down to the pool and I lay down in a lounge, and I'm looking up and I can see his room, his balcony and his sliding glass door there from where I'm sitting. And I see his fat face peeking out at me. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, he's up to something.
Right.
I don't trust this fucker. So I get up and I go across the pool deck and I go up the stairs to the door to his room. And he opens the door and he's wide-eyed. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, what are you doing, man? He's like, I'm going to come down to the pool. Just give me a couple minutes. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Are you jerking off or something? He goes, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll be down in a couple minutes. I'm like, all right, whatever. He talks me out of thinking he's up to something, and I go back, and I lay down on the lounge chair facing him again. I'm exhausted. I flew overnight, you know. Super tired. I lay down in the chair. I'm looking up. I see the curtain blowing in the wind, but Bobby's not there, and then I fall asleep. Next thing I know, I feel like heat on my chest and a noise like a fucking gunshot. Bang! Scares the shit out of me. I jump up. I look. I've got little bits of white shit all over me, and it's fucking everywhere. And the woman, the Indian woman who runs the hotel, comes running out. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's right. happening? Fucking Bobby balled up a whole roll of toilet paper and right. soaked it in the sink in his room. That's what he was doing when I fucking went up there.
Oh, okay.
Soaked it into a giant ball. And fucking launched it across the pool. It hit me square in the chest. I was sound asleep. Boom! It fucking exploded. It went everywhere. And that scared the fuck out of me. But then I was, within 10 seconds, I was laughing hysterically. And this woman comes out, the Indian woman, she goes, I'll never forget what she said. She goes, what happened? I go, ah, my friend, he just threw a ball of wet toilet paper at me from his balcony. And she goes, oh, my God, I thought I was in a wilderness park.
A wilderness park?
We're like, right. What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, wow.
It was fucking hilarious.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm going to get this fucker back no matter what.
Yeah.
So later in the week, Bobby knows a guy. We're out there for like 10 days. Bobby knows a guy who can hook us up. This guy, Jay Davis. You guys might know
him. I know Jay Davis, yeah.
He's a good dude, right?
Yeah.
He knows fucking everybody in Hollywood. Everyone who lives in Hollywood, that is. And he can hook up deals at hotels. So he gets us rooms at this place called The Grafton.
Yeah, I know The Grafton,
you know where The
yeah.
Grafton
yeah,
is, uh-huh. right across from the store?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we stay there. A couple funny things happen there. One, Bobby's air conditioner doesn't work. And it's like 105, and he's just sitting in his room sweating, can't sleep. So he calls to the desk and says, hey, my air conditioner doesn't work. Can you guys send somebody up to fix it? And they say, sure. He hangs up the phone. He falls back asleep. When he opens his eyes, there's a man in this room, a maintenance guy, has just come in the room, and he's got a spoon. He's just gently chipping away at the frozen block of ice that his air conditioner has become. Bob's laying there in his underwear. There's this dude just like, just looks up at him and then just goes back to work. I thought that was pretty fucking funny. But so when we get there, I've kind of forgotten about what happened at the downtowner. Until I realize there's a window between like where the bathroom and my main hotel room are. There's like a little window, but it's got a shutter that's closed up over it, like wooden shutters. So I open them. I'm like, oh, I can see the pool from out here. And I look, and there's fucking Bob sitting right there, straight across the same way I was at the other place. And he's sitting there. So I fucking got him back. I made a big ball of fucking toilet
you
paper.
You made a toilet paper ball.
I chucked it. The first one I chucked went right by him. He didn't even notice. It went right in the bushes behind him.
He didn't even notice.
He didn't even fucking notice. And I was like, oh, like, holy shit. I made another one and I fucking nailed him with that one. Not as clean a hit as his,
right,
but
right,
I got him back.
That's great.
And I was like, I got you, you motherfucker. And then when I was returning my rental car, there's a cardboard box in the back with a fucking dildo in it.
Really?
Like,
oh, shit.
He snuck it in. He knows that guy great. Who was like in porno, the Asian guy.
Yoshi.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he had brought him all these toys.
Right, yeah,
so
yeah,
he left a bunch in my fucking rental car, the dick, so that when I returned it, I'm like, sir, is this your dildo? I think you left your giant dildo in the car.
Yoshi. One time we were on the road, me and Bob Levy, and we were staying at like this shitty Motel 6.
Wait, the Reverend Bob Levy?
The Reverend Bob Levy. Motel, like in Utica, New York, and he was hitting on some girl at the show, and he's like, hey, come back to my hotel. So he's waiting for her. He's all drunk. He's probably coked up. It's like 3 in the morning. And I go, Bob, she's not coming back. He goes, no, I'm telling you, she's coming. She's going to be here. She's going to be here. And he's just looking out the window like a lost soul. I'm like, just go to bed. She's not coming. He goes, I'm telling you, she's going
to
be here. And I'm like, all right. And I was staying in a room next to him. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I'm going to bed. And I just still hear him in there, you know, and just like he's up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fuck with him. I open the phone book and I call an escort and I deliver, send a prostitute to his room. So like 45 minutes later, I'm trying to stay up because I want to hear what goes on. And he's right next door. And like 45 minutes later, I'm like, I just hear, who are you? What? I didn't know. No, I didn't call for you. You got to pay me. He's like, I ain't paying you. You got to pay me. My pimp's out in the car. You got to pay me. I drove an hour to get here, 45 minutes. You I don't even know who you are. I don't want you. I didn't order you. Who did? Well,
I didn't order you.
I drove this far. You got to pay me or my pimp's going to come in here. He's like, I'm not paying you. Screaming,
I'm just in the other room,
just laughing. And I didn't want to knock because he was mad, so I just waited till the morning. I go, "What happened? I heard you yelling at somebody." He goes, "Some hooker came to my room last night." I go, "Yeah, I know." He's like, "What do you mean? How do you know? You heard?" I go, "No, I ordered her." He's like, "You fuck."
That's great.
Yeah.
Did he laugh?
Yeah, he laughed, but he was waiting and waiting for this girl, and I sent him some fucking black hooker.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He said a pimp. He didn't give her the money; just slammed the door
girl
shut.
Never showed. The other girl.
No, of course not. I knew she wasn't.
Yeah. It's funny.
That's great.
One in a million times that happens, the girl shows up.
Well, one time.
There's always one guy. He's like, no, man, I swear to God, she told me she's coming.
But this is a legend.
She's not coming.
This is a legendary story. There's one time, so Levy's doing a show. We're doing a show, and Levy gets off stage, and he starts making out with this girl. As soon as he walks off stage, I've never seen, like, he didn't even get to the back of the room because he was hitting on her from the crowd, and she was hot. And he's making out, and the crowd's going nuts. Like, holy shit, this is insane. So the girl was with a bunch of people. She goes, look, come back to my hotel room. I'll be back there in about an hour. I'm staying at this hotel, whatever. And he goes, okay. He goes, I'm going to meet you over. She goes, okay. Bob goes, all right, I'll meet you there in an hour. And I had the car, so he goes, Jim, you got to drop me off at the hotel. I said, all right, no problem. I drop him off at the hotel. I go, all right, I'll pick you up in the morning. This is before cell phones or anything. I go, I'll pick you up in the morning. He knows what room it is, 413. He gets there. He knocks on the door, and some dude answers the door. And he's like, who are you? And he's like, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And they're just going back and forth. And he looks in. He sees the girl in the bed, and she's looking out like that. She picked up another dude after Levy in between an hour. Didn't think Levy was going to come back, and he shows up, and there's another dude with her.
Oh no!
And he's like, she invited me here, and she's like, and he's like, what? He goes, did you invite him here? She goes, well, he was the comedian at the show. I just told him he was really funny. He goes, no, you told me to come here in an hour. And now Levy's in the room. Levy's in the room, and they're just standing there. The girl's in the bed, like half naked. The guy's standing there like a towel. And Levy's like, this is fucking bullshit. Why did you tell me to come? She goes, I didn't know you were going to come. I just, and he's like, just, and the guy's just standing. And Levy's like, well, fuck this, man. My ride left. I ain't leaving. And the guy goes, I'm not leaving. So Levy fucking went in a chair and slept in a chair. And halfway through the night, he went in the bed and slept in the bed with that couple.
With both of them.
Yeah. He goes, I'm not leaving either. And he went in the chair and he slept in the chair as the couple was in the bed.
Oh,
I'm like, that's
God,
insane.
Ridiculous.
And then he woke up in the morning. He's in the bed.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, you think, I don't know how he would have gotten in touch with me. I have to call my hotel. It's like, I'm down here. But he's like, fuck that. I'm not leaving. So he sat in the chair.
He just
the couple
sat,
was
so nobody
bed.
Did anything.
Yeah, nobody did
nobody
anything.
Nobody got laid.
Yeah, nobody got laid.
They all just slept in it.
With an hour, she had another guy in the room.
Oh, my God. An hour later. You told me to come here in an hour.
I know. Who are you?
You told me 40 minutes.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you? Who are you? Who am I? Who are you?
Oh,
wow,
shoot.
Dude. I don't think, I haven't seen him in ages, the Reverend Bob. I can't remember the last time I saw him.
Yeah, it's been
it's
a while.
It's got to be 15 years or something.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he's still out there. He's plugging away.
I did some gig with him at like a firehouse or something.
Right.
In South Jersey.
Yeah. That's where he lives, South Jersey.
Yeah, he's still down there?
Yeah, he's down there.
Never actually a reverend, right?
No. No.
What does he do? Does he have another job?
No, I mean, no. He's been doing stand-up.
Just stand-up. Yeah, okay. That's what I
mean. Yeah. He's a hustler, man.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a good guy, Bob.
No, he is. I've done plenty of gigs, but we had a blast on the road.
I never invite him back to my room in the middle of the night, no. No, you don't want that. Unless he'll fucking show up, and he won't leave.
No, he won't. He definitely won't.
Crash right here and then right there. Oh, that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Holy shit. Who did he used to hang with, like, who were, like, those other, there's, like, another Jersey contingent of dudes, like,
Well, you know, Rich Voss.
Yeah, Voss.
Levy was doing comedy like 3-4 years and he was headlining when me and Norton started.
Right.
And he took a liking to us because we were two creeps.
Yeah. He was like, I like these creeps.
Yeah, and Levy had a drinking problem, so his wife didn't want him to drive because he would drink, you know, fucking like an animal every night. So we would drive. Norton was sober. And
Jimmy,
I'm like, holy
shit.
Yeah, or I would drive. I'm like, I don't need to drink, you know, to go do the show. So he was in at all these like one-nighters and clubs. So he got us work right away. He's like, well, I'm going to bring in these two losers.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
they
great,
got about
dude.
20 minutes between them.
Yeah.
Just pay him like,
you
know,
open.
Yeah, like $150 between the two of them, and then I'll do the rest of the show. So it was great. So we were working like nonstop.
That's awesome.
All the time.
But which, who were those other guys? Like, who's the guy who's just completely full of shit?
I know who you're talking about.
What's his?
Yeah, buddy, Artie Fletcher.
Artie Fletcher. Yeah,
yeah. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, I know. He is
sorry, Artie, but
he is full of shit.
He's always making up these crazy stories.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I remember McMahon telling me stories. I used to golf a lot with McMahon and Voss.
Okay, yeah.
And I would hear stories about Artie Fletcher.
Yeah, he's down in Florida now. He burned a lot of bridges here, and so he's, you know, you can start fresh
in Jersey.
Yeah.
I love that he told McMahon he was opening for Shania Twain.
Yeah. He's like, he would just make up all these stories.
I'm opening for Shania Twain tomorrow in Chicago. I got to go home. And then Eric's like, what time's the show? You know, he started asking for details.
Yeah.
And he's like, 8 o'clock. So then he calls him at home the next day at like 6. And he's like, hello? He's like, what are you doing? I thought you're opening for Shania Twain. He's like, the car will be here any minute. The show starts in 2 hours.
I remember,
fly to Chicago when you get to the gig?
He used to just lie to everybody. So he was, I guess, after a show, we're in a bar, and he was trying to pick this chick up. And he weighed like, you know, he's probably like 270 pounds.
Yeah, he was huge.
He was huge. He had a huge belly and all that stuff. So he's rapping with this girl, and then he goes, Jim, I got to go to the bathroom. And the girl comes up to you, she goes, what soap opera is your friend on? he would never be on a soap opera. I watch every one. He said he's on a couple of them. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to. He goes, you don't know. He's your friend, and you don't know what soap opera he's on. I think he's full of shit.
That's great.
And then I got, and then
that's great.
And then he's over at the bar. He's talking to the bartender, this hot bartender. And I go over. He goes, this is my friend Jim. He was on the show. And she goes, your friend has never been on Spin City, okay? I watch every episode. He's a fucker. So I'm getting the problem. I'm getting the soap opera.
That's hilarious.
Within like two lines. He's never been on Spin City.
That's great.
Your friend. Your friend is not a nuclear engineer for the U.S. Navy. There's so many funny stories about that guy. And the other guy who hung out with him who had a donut tie. Remember that guy? Mike?
No. Mike Morse.
Mike Morse.
Yeah.
It was part of his act. He had a tie with donuts on it.
That's right. Yeah, he did some props.
He had some props stuff. Yeah. That's funny. Those are like the old-time Jersey guys.
Yeah, we are.
Who was the big... There was one guy, a huge fat guy. He was really fucking funny. Can't remember his name. He'd be like, he had a bit about, you know, is it like Casual Times and Clark with the guy or something? One of those old gigs.
Yeah.
Or Reddington Roadhouse.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Frank D'Amico because he was from New York. Frank was
been.
The big. He went out was with Lisa Lampanelli.
Like, people
years later. He owned that club.
Would always try to set him up with fat girls.
Was it Dennis Ross?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not gonna remember the guy's name, but he's fucking funny as shit. My family and friends always want to set me up with these fat girls because I'm fat. They're like, "When do you take her out to eat?" He's like, "Take her out to eat. I only got $500."
Right.
Yeah. Fucking his whole act was about that. It was
right.
Fucking funny, man.
I don't know.
Can't remember his name, but he was a Jersey guy too.
Jeff Parami?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that
maybe.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Big, real.
Yeah,
real
yeah,
heavy guy,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
With long, like kind of long, dark hair.
I think so.
Remember Ace Mason?
Yeah.
These are like, you probably wouldn't even know.
No, I don't know.
There's like a whole different set of
yeah.
guys.
Well, those guys,
like
yeah,
Brooklyn
a lot
guys.
Of these guys yeah. never made it into the city.
Yeah. Well, some of them are like, I don't need to go into the city and have all those city hacks stealing my material. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about that.
Ace
dude.
Mason, that's a great fucking name.
I think maybe yeah. that's the other way around here.
That's like Rock. Who's that guy who was a comic and then he's like a writer? Rock Rubin. Like
Rock Rubin.
Like
yeah.
Rock Rubin, Ace Mason. Those are like, you know, Johnny Quest
real
type names.
Showbiz names.
Yeah. I love it.
You ever work with Mike and Mike?
Mike and Mike.
Two very heavy, like, magician, comedian.
I think I remember
Mike
them.
And Mike.
I don't.
They were, one of them is no longer around. One of them passed away.
Yeah.
But, like, the little one was, like, 350.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And then Big Mike was, like, over 400 pounds.
So all these guys were just in Jersey.
These were like,
yeah.
All these guys were like guys that mostly worked just in Jersey.
Was it like
and,
Boston where you could make a living? Like,
yeah, there was
yeah,
a lot of gigs.
Making money doing
yeah.
it. Yeah.
There was a lot of, between New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. There was a ton of work, you know
the
what I mean?
Man.
A lot of one-nighters. Yeah, the pickle man. Yeah, there was a lot of one-nighters, sports bars, firehouses, VFWs, you know, just restaurants that had a comedy club in the back, all that stuff. So it wasn't, you know. That's so what me and Norton, we did comedy for like 3 years, and we just did every gig opening for Voss, because Voss had all the connections.
Uh-huh.
We started, and Levy, so they took us on the road. Otto and George took us on the road, too. And then we got in all these clubs that they didn't give it, you know, just pay these guys, they'll do the time. And that's how we started working our shit out. So we didn't really hit the city till about 3-4 years into us doing stand-up.
That's cool, though. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, but you get
you guys
crisp.
Have done
you
some
get crispy.
Before you...
Yeah, because I went in early, and I thought I was great, because I performed in front of my friends, and I killed. I'm like, oh, this is a piece of cake. And then I think stand-up New York, I had to bring like 15 people, and I bombed.
Yeah, bring everyone you've ever met.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I brought, and then, the rest of the crowd's like, this guy's horrible, you know. And then I'm like, when can I come back? They're like, you can't. I'm like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Look at my donut tie.
Forever.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow. I thought of some other pranks, but now I can't remember them at the moment. But I think that's probably good, man. There's some great laughs in there.
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug, Jim? What are you up to now?
Yeah, I got I'm doing an act where I got a donut tie now. It's working out really well.
I do these fat guy jokes.
And I just got on a soap opera, and Spin City is supposed to be coming back. So I think
are you opening for Shania Twain?
Yeah, Shania. Well, yeah, when she gets
right now
in the fall. In the fall, I'm gonna supposed to send a car in August for.
Oh, that's another thing I want to talk to you about actually. But like when I was in college, one of my favorite things to do. One of my friends got one of those suction cup things you put on the phone, and then. Get on the phone with people, you can record your conversation.
Yeah.
Remember those old school spy things? So one of our favorite things to do would be sit around and prank call people.
Yes.
And my favorite one was I'd pretend to be a radio DJ, and I'd get people to do all these crazy, stupid things, making all sorts of noises, taking their clothes off and like whatever,
right?
To thinking that they're going to win a prize, you know, thinking I'm a guy from the radio. And my friends loved it. It's one of the first things where I was like, clearly, entertaining everybody through this whole thing. And then you took that idea, like, so over the top far with terrorizing telemarketers those CDs, man. Are those? Can people still get those?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, like now we're just streams of shit. So like on Spotify
and stream stuff
Pandora.
Now,
no, right. I mean they're still out there and they're on, you know, iTunes.
But they can
and stuff
people
like
can
that.
Listen to
it's
it.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
because I tell people about those because they're so fucking funny, dude.
No, people listen. People come up to me now. Like I did that shit in 2000 was the first one I put one out. Between 2000 and 2007, I put like five of them out.
Right.
And people go still come up to me all the time. Go, dude, that those prank calls. Oh, I got a, you know, I got Pandora and I put a, your channel on it. Oh my God. And I'm like,
they're so fucking funny.
I never thought it'd be anything. I just like, ah, just throw it out there. I'll sell it after a show, get my name out there. You know, I never thought anything. I just,
that
I was like,
turn
I
turn into, like, is that not how crank anchors?
Well,
came
no,
about,
well, they, or? No, they already had that idea, but they were looking for guys to do prank calls. Oh, and when right, they heard my shit, they're like, I was like the only unknown comic to go on there. Right. Like, they had Sarah Silverman, Chappelle, Kimmel, Carolla.
Wanda.
Yeah, so all of these guys, I was the only, like, on, like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, but you were the veteran.
Yeah.
You're like, let me show you.
Yeah, I'm
like, guys,
I've been doing this for years. Because my whole thing was.
Get your grandfather in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah. And just drown him in a bathtub.
It's
yeah.
disturbing, that one. It's so realistic.
I know.
And then the guy is just quiet for like a half a minute. And the guy's like, so are we going to be able to close this
deal?
Yeah,
I'm like, she's like, what's the problem? I go, he's not breathing. Because he kept talking when I was trying to get the information. She's like, what are you doing? I go, I'm getting my grandfather a bath. She goes, you want me to call back? I go, no, it's fine. And then as she's trying to get me out, he keeps talking, oh, wash me over here. I'm like, will you shut up? And I'm like, hold on a second, miss. And I just put his head under the water. We had a little bucket there, me and my buddy Chuck. And he's just going, she goes, what are you doing? I go, he won't shut up. I'm just trying to get the information. He'll be fine. Keep going. And then she goes right back into a pitch. Like nothing's going on. And then I wait like 45 seconds and there's silence. I go, uh-oh. She goes, what happened? I go, he's not breathing. She goes, well, you better get him out of the water. I go, oh, man. I go, what should I do? She goes, well, call 911. I go, well, I don't want to get in trouble. She goes, She goes, well, just say he fell. I'm like, oh, okay. I go, before I call 911, can you just give me that information one more time real quick? I know he's not breathing. And she goes right back into her pitch. Yeah.
Fucking brilliant, dude.
Oh, man.
So funny.
That's awesome.
And then you did, there was a character that was named Judah.
Yeah.
Who was...
Of course, yeah. Because sometimes I'd have to... Needs. I'd have to fill out forms to get to telemarketers to call. Like, you know, like a gym membership. You know, you go into a Subway, there'd be a gym membership or something. Yeah, yeah. So I'd fill out any form and I put the phone number. Because you put the phone number, they're calling.
Yeah.
So I'd always put my friend's name. So one of them was Judah. I wrote, like, is this Judah? And I pretended I was retarded. I'm like, yeah, this is Judah. Yeah. It was, yeah. Always
and that
my friend's
became
name.
Special Ed.
Yeah,
right?
It became Special Ed, yeah.
It's great.
And fucking Eminem loved that, and that
became,
that's fucking awesome, dude. Wow. I remember the first time I listened to those. I swear it was like when you first got that mysterious blank label-less cassette of the Jerky Boys,
right? Yeah, when they passed that around, yeah,
it was like holy shit, this is fucking gold. This is so fucking funny.
Sizzle chest.
Listen here, Chisel Chest. Should I bring my fucking tools?
I loved it because they brought profanity to prank calls, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, just those tension in the calls. To me, when there's if there's no tension, it's not a good call. It's got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wish we could do some right now. It's so fun, man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for what were you going to say?
Now you got harassment charges against
you. Yeah,
so
that's
true. It's tough.
You got to somehow get them to sign a release or a waiver.
Well, that too, but you got to, you know, just calling out. If they calling in is a little different, but
right, if they
out,
call you.
Yeah, calling in to your house is a little different, but if you're calling out, the cops can be here in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, unless you know, there's ways around it, but it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. They've took the art of prank call away.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Good old days when you could call someone and fuck with them for no reason at all.
No reason.
Just a random person.
Then why? They're just minding their own business.
They'd be like, hello. I'd be like, you're the 104th caller on 104.3. Give me the Tukey Tukey bird call. They'd be like, aye, aye. My friends and I are fucking dying, you know.
Right.
Oh, those are the good old days.
And then they got nothing at the end.
Yeah, then at the end, we'd take their address and everything.
Right.
They were thinking they were getting tickets to a show or something.
And it was never coming.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, just a bunch of dudes in a
Norton shows up with a smiley face.
Yeah, Norton. It's Saturn.
Oh, fuck, man. Well, thanks for being on the show, Jim.
Absolutely, man. It was great seeing you guys. Yeah.
Glad you're doing well.
Yeah, everything's good, man.
You have a new stand-up special, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It came out the same time my last one did, I think, November.
Yeah, mine came out in December, yeah.
What's it called?
A Simple Man.
Simple Man.
It's up on iTunes.
Is that about you?
Yeah, it's just like, you know.
I'm just fucking with
you. Yeah, kind of. Well, the theme was like I'm a simple man. I don't need all this extra,
right.
You know, shit in my life, the complications and all that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know.
Especially as you get older, you just like cut shit.
No, like this girl, a couple of weeks ago, she's like, yeah, I don't like the way you text. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I text you and then you don't get back to me. That sometimes you do, but then other times you wait like 10 minutes. I go, yo, well, I'm not a 16-year-old girl. I go, I got shit going on. I don't sit on my phone all day. And just, she goes, I know, but it's just weird how you text back. I'm like, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 37. I go, you really should let it go. You really should. I go, I don't sit on my phone all day. I got shit to do that. I'm just going to text you back and forth. It's down, and then maybe an hour later, I look at it. Oh, somebody sent me a text, and I decide if I'm going to go, sorry,
You left me waiting.
That's great.
How did that work out? Did she accept that in the end?
No.
I had a feeling that was going to be answered.
She sent you a text?
No, she said that in person. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. It's like you get to a certain age, and if people are difficult or whatever, you're just like, you're out.
Yeah,
you're off the list.
I know. That's why I tell people when they get older, it's easier because you really just focus on what you like and you weed out the people in your life that just give you a problem. You're like, I'm not dealing with that anymore.
Yeah. I don't need you.
You're a pain in the ass.
What are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I got enough friends and I got this and I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
I'm good.
See ya.
It's also making new friends.
You know,
if they fuck up like within the first... You know, pretty soon after you meet him, you're like,
I know.
I don't have time to put into this.
Yeah. I know it's almost like a relationship. You chew with your mouth open.
It's almost like
some little thing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost like a relationship. Like you go on a first or second date with a girl and she causes a scene. You're like, all right, this is a problem. She shouldn't be doing this early. Like she at the 6-month mark, maybe she should show these warts. But if she's doing it first or second date, this is a nightmare.
Yeah,
like just cut it. Before, like in your 20s, like she was just having a bad night.
Yeah,
and then 8 months she's in, you're like, oh my god, what did I do?
Yeah,
I should have remembered that first night.
Red flags as a kid.
You know, you just run through them. But now I see one, I'm like, I'm out. I'm like, there's no reason to be doing this.
Yeah. Too much time and hassle.
He's don't have any tolerance anymore. I don't have any tolerance for any of it.
I used to have such a hot temper. Now I'd just be like, I mean, I could obviously we could still come out, but
what is it? The weed?
Generally speaking, I'm just like
weed.
Whatever. My response to most things is just like, if it's something negative, it's like, all right, whatever. I don't have time for you and whatever your horse shit is that you're peddling. You know.
Yeah. Cut them loose.
Yeah.
Cut them loose. Yeah.
Don't let it bother you and cut them off. That's today's message on Tall But True.
I think so.
Fuck people who are annoying. Cut them out of your life.
Cut them out of your life.
Get rid of shake the rug.
You don't need them. Take your time getting back to people.
Yeah. Just fuck with them then.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for Tall But True. You can always find out what I'm up to by going to therealbenbailey.com or realbenbailey on social media. DC Benny is...
The real DC Benny on Instagram and dcbenny.com.
And I'm the fake Jim Florentine on Twitter.
The fake Jim Florentine. What is it really? Just Jim Florentine?
Mr. Jim Florentine.
Mr. Oh, it's Mr. Jim.
Somebody had
Jamin?
No, someone just had Jim Florentine, so I was just like, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to fight over it. Probably, I think,
son
when I got it.
Bitch.
Yeah.
It's not right.
But I have a podcast to do every week, Comedy Metal Midgets.
Oh, right. We were going to ask you about it.
Yeah, I just...
Comedy Metal Midgets.
Metal Midgets,
So what is that? What like?
I just rant on different shit.
Oh, okay.
You know?
It's just you?
Yeah, it's just me, usually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's easy. We got to book guests.
I know. Yes. That's why I didn't want to do it. I'm like, I don't want to book guests.
That's right.
I don't want to.
Including you.
No, so it's easy. I just do it in my hotel room on the road, or I do it at my kitchen table in my house.
That's cool.
I just
talk about comedy, about
No, I just rant anything. Like an hour. Like, I'll pick up people's bad Facebook posts, and I'll make fun of them, you know.
People who are, like, post to you?
No, just in general. People send them to me. Like, people listen to podcasts will send me, like, bad, like, you know, Mother Nature, go away. You know, I'm like, I don't know if Mother Nature saw your page because you guys aren't friends. You know, I don't know how Mother Nature would see unless somebody else is friends with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You know, would tell you, hey, there's a guy trashing you on Facebook from Akron, Ohio. You might want to check that out. You know, just shit like that.
Send a tornado his way.
That's cool. Yeah. Some asshole in Akron. I don't know if you saw his post.
Yeah.
Mother Nature. Oh, that's cool, man. I like that. I mean, having people provide you with shit, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right, what I do. I have an email, and I just say, if you think, see anything that, like, you know, vanity plates. Some people like personalized plates.
Right,
and
they send me vanity super, plate pictures.
Yeah, any pictures or whatever you see.
Those are great, man.
Yeah, so I'll just make fun. So they send them an email, and I just go through them, and I just.
Do you remember any of those? Like a really bad one?
Dude, I got, on my block, I got Joey, and I got Albanian. Those are the two on my block.
Joey.
And Albanian, yeah.
You know everybody that knows that guy, whenever they see him, they're like, hey, Joey. Fuck. Yeah, having people send stuff in. What's that Florida man? Where I saw a bunch of posts from you that were like, a Florida man.
Well, because there's a guy on Twitter called Florida Man. They post all crazy stories. Uh-huh. Like, you know, because Florida is always...
There's always crazy, shit ever. Crime happening in Florida.
Yeah, so I follow him. So if there's anything funny, then I'll retweet
it. Then you retweet that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know.
It's always like a Florida man. Yeah, there's always shady shit in
Florida.
It's
so.
Pretty incredible there. It just collects.
Florida, yeah, you know? No doubt.
The Plan B state.
There's good people in Florida too. Florida, yes, don't get upset with us.
Have great times there.
There's some crazies down there for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I feel like there's rich people and then there's people who have like nothing.
Well, that's why the state's always messed up with the election. Mm. You never know where it's going to go because it's rednecks and it's, you know, a lot of minorities, and, you know, you got South Florida is like Haitian and Cuban, and then you got rednecks up in North Florida, and you got rich people in West Palm.
And everybody's drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Through all walks of life, everybody's
drinking,
partaking.
Guns, you know, a lot of, it's crazy.
Dude, I remember going down and doing a casino in, I think it's Hollywood, Florida.
The Hard Rock
The Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Across the street where you could buy... bulk booze, and then right next door you could buy guns.
Yeah,
those little strip malls.
Yeah, like right across from the casino.
Yeah.
Take your winnings, get liquored up, and then go buy some firearms. Like holy shit,
incredible.
Florida.
Yeah.
You can't tell that's a recipe for trouble. Fuck, man. All right, that's it for this episode of Tall But True. Thanks for listening, everybody. Subscribe if you haven't already. We're on Audio Boom now.
Boom.
Hooray for Audio Boom. Thanks, Audio Boom. We have no sponsors this week, though, so we have no ads to read. So what the fuck, sponsors? Where are you? Just kidding. All right, guys, that's it. Thanks. Adios.
Bye.